Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. This is Abdul Nasser Jengda, and you're listening to the Qalam Podcast. Allah tells the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that the stories of the prophets are a source of great strength and comfort for the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Therefore, it's important for all of us to learn and reflect on these stories and derive the lessons, the strength, and spirituality from the stories of these great and noble prophets that Allah has given to us in the Quran. Therefore, I'm very pleased to share with you the series that I delivered in the Qalam Masjid, on the Qalam campus, all throughout the month of Ramadan 2024, corresponding to 1445 after Hijrah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this a means of benefit for all of us. Please enjoy the series. Bismillah walhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Inshallah, continuing with our series here in the month of Ramadan, where we are discussing the stories of the prophets in the Quran. Today, inshallah, we are going to be talking about the story of the Prophet Yunus alayhi salam. And the lesson and the moral that we'll be extracting from the story of Prophet Yunus alayhi salam in the Quran is the lesson of taking responsibility, taking ownership of one's own choices, and then kind of talking about, well, now what is the recourse for the choices that I have made? But the primary theme is taking responsibility. To first and foremost understand once again the background and the concept, the background or the story of the Prophet Yunus alayhi salam, there's an authentic narration in Sahih Bukhari in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam tells us about the full name of the Prophet Yunus alayhi salam, and that is Yunus ibn Matta. Yunus ibn Matta. And the hadith also tells us that the Prophet Yunus alayhi salam was from the ancient city of Nineveh, which is referred to in the Old Testament as Nineveh. And the story of the Prophet Yunus alayhi salam, and one of the very interesting reasons, or interesting parallels, I should rather say, reflections that we can draw from the story of Prophet Yunus alayhi salam, is that there are some very interesting parallels to Yunus alayhi salam's situation and the situation of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi salam. First and foremost, Nineveh was a very prominent city in its region and at that time, similar to the city of Mecca. Secondly, the people, the tribe, the town, the people of Yunus alayhi salam, it was a very large, prominent, powerful tribe, just like the Quraysh were for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Yunus alayhi salam came from the most prominent family of leadership from amongst his tribe and people, just like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam invoked the name of his grandfather, where he said, "Ana ibn Abdul Muttalib," I am the grandson of Abdul Muttalib. So there are these very interesting parallels. And then the most fascinating parallel is how things played out. Yunus alayhi salam preached and preached and preached to his people for years and years and years, almost a decade, until finally it reached such a point where it became a stalemate. And the people were not budging. And obviously, the Prophet, a prophet of God, doesn't have the luxury of budging. He has a mission. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam spent 13 years in Mecca preaching and teaching the message. And this is something people don't understand and realize. The day the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam made the hijrah from Makkah to Medina, there were more Muslims in Medina waiting for him than there were in Makkah leaving it. The 13 years of the Meccan period, there were very few numbers. It was a couple of hundred Muslims, that's it. They were remarkable people, but I'm just saying in the grand scheme of things, as opposed to the Prophet ﷺ hasn't even arrived in Medina yet, and there's already 500 Muslims in Medina. So think about that. And so that's another parallel between the situation of Yunus ﷺ and the Prophet ﷺ. And this is where the lesson of Yunus ﷺ comes in. Yunus ﷺ sat back, he assessed the situation. He looked at the last decade, what exactly had occurred and transpired, analyzed and assessed the situation, and then concluded a very logical conclusion, and that was that at this point, those who were to believe, they've believed. And those who have not believed yet, now they have kind of dug their heels in so deeply that it's become very personal. And these people are not going to budge unless and until something very remarkable or miraculous occurs. But otherwise, these people are not about to budge. And he arrived at that conclusion, and therefore he said, now it's time to depart. Now it's time to go. Enough has been invested here. And Yunus alayhi salam came to this conclusion and he packed his bags and he departed. When he departed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that it was not time for you to leave yet. It was not time for you to leave yet. I had not explicitly instructed you to leave yet. So you were not supposed to go yet. And as a result of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to once again give us a role model in this regard, how do I go about in taking responsibility, taking ownership, owning my choices? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala arranged something miraculous, remarkable. Yunus alayhi salam boards a ship. He's leaving. And as he's traveling on the ship, out of just nowhere, they get just this horrible storm, like a hurricane, just shows up out of nowhere and just completely grips this boat. And these people are nervous and panicking, and even the way that storm, that hurricane came out of nowhere, it seemed like there was some kind of divine intervention here. Everything, of course, has divine intervention, but you understand that this seemed like this was a sign of something. So they said, someone on the ship has brought about the wrath or the anger of Allah. And then they identified Yunus alayhi salam as the last person that had boarded the ship. And they basically said, we have to get you off this ship, otherwise we won't survive. So they give him, you know, like a plank or something like that to be able to float. And they basically toss him overboard. They toss him like a life vest or whatever they had. And they're just like, whatever Allah does with you. But we're not going down with you. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that at that point in time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Kasahib al-Hut, Allah calls him. Allah sent one of his creation, a whale, Allah refers to it as. And that whale came and swallowed up Yunus alayhi salam. And he was in the belly of the beast, in the belly of the whale. Now he's in there, and by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's still alive, but he's inside the belly of the beast. And there, He's in there for some time. Allah knows best. The Quran does not explicitly comment on how long he was in there or not. There are different comments that some of the commentators of the Quran, Al-Hasan al-Basri says 40 nights. Some Mufassirun mentioned 3 nights. Ultimately, Allah knows best. But the point is, he's in the belly of the beast and he recognizes where he's at. And now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that Yunus alayhi salam, he has in that moment, it gives him the opportunity to be able to reflect on what he did. Where he got, Allah says, وَذَنُّونِ إِذْ ذَهَبَ مُغَضِبًا. That it wasn't just that he did the math and then he left the people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Yunus alayhi salam, you know when you kind of have like a bit of a quiet moment by yourself? You realize certain things in that moment? You were so agitated before, and because you were moving around, you started to craft a particular narrative, you started telling yourself a particular story, and you worked yourself up. And at that point, you're basically just kind of, you know, buying your own stock. You're drinking your own Kool-Aid. You're feeding into that narrative and feeding off of it. But then when you get kind of separated from it and you sit down for a little while, and hopefully it's kind of a little bit later in the day so that you're physically tired, because that's where the nafs, the animal, the beast lives. So you're physically worn down a little bit so that you're not thinking so like hormonally, and it's quiet. And maybe it's you just made wudu and prayed, so you got a little bit of dhikr in. There's a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ that says that even wudu is a blessed act. It extinguishes the flames of like arrogance and agitation, shaitan. Just like water extinguishes fire. And you're kind of sitting there, and at that moment you start to kind of come down a little bit off of it, and you realize, okay, it's not exactly like maybe I was selling myself. And then it becomes a totally different situation. So Yunus alayhi salam, he's sitting there and it allows him the moment and he realizes, إِذْ ذَهَبَ مُغَضِبًا. It's not like I was telling myself, I didn't just do the math and then leave. I was angry. I was irate that these people had not believed, that they had wasted my time. They had made a joke and a mockery of me. He remembered in that moment that he was irritated with them. And there's no room for that. And he immediately recognizes, oh, I shouldn't have done that. That's on me. And he owns it. And he takes responsibility for it. And then he says, فَنَادَ فِي الظُّلُمَاتِ. He called out, he cried out in the darkness, the layers upon layers upon layers of darkness. The tafsir mentions that it was 3 layers of darkness. It was nighttime, in the ocean, and in the belly of the beast. And he cries out to Allah, La ilaha illa ant. La ilaha illa ant. There is no one worthy of worship except for you, O Allah. I am submitted to no one other than you, O Allah. That's a very interesting thing to say at a moment where you're taking ownership, where you're taking responsibility for your action. Right? We would assume you would say something like, Astaghfirullah. I'm sorry. I messed up. My bad. Forgive me. Pardon me. No. La ilaha illa ant. Why? Because that's the true reset. Because what that person is saying, we don't attribute this to the prophets of God. I'll talk about myself. When I'm saying that, when I'm realizing the error of my ways, and I'm taking ownership, and I'm taking responsibility, and I say, La ilaha illa ant. What I'm saying is, Ya Allah, I fell into the trap. For a little while, I was following my nafs. I was worshiping myself. I submitted to my anger. I devoted myself to my ego. And so this is the true reset. Where you break the idols. Not the literal physical idols. The Prophet on the Hajjatul Wida, the farewell pilgrimage, the Prophet declared on that day, you will not worship idols, like physical idols. You won't pray to like a physical idol. That's not going to happen to you. Shaitan can't do that to you. But what he will do is he will make you slip by worshiping the idols you don't realize, you don't recognize. The smaller idols, the subtle idols, the non-physical idols, the intangible idols. That's your ego. That's your arrogance. That's your pride. That's your anger. That's your desire for vengeance. How dare you? So, La ilaha illa ant. Oh Allah, I messed up. Oh Allah, I messed up. I reset myself and I submit myself only and solely to you, Ya Allah. Subhanak, because you are perfect and I am flawed. You are perfect and I am flawed. Inni kuntu minadh dhalimin. I messed up. You have to own it. That's the part. You got to own it. It's i'tiraf. It's a confession. Inni kuntu minadh dhalimin. I messed up. I sinned. I oppressed my own soul. And when he said that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we answered his prayer. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in surah number 68, Surah Al-Qalam, ayah number 48, Allah is telling the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَاصْبِرْ لِحُكْمِ رَبِّكَ. Be firm on the command of your Lord. وَلَا تَكُنْ كَصَاحِبِ الْحُوتِ. And learn a lesson from the example of your brother, the Prophet Yunus alayhi salam. إِذْ نَادَى وَهُوَ مَكْذُومٌ لَوْلَا أَن تَدَارَكَهُ نِعْمَةٌ مِّن رَبِّهِ. He was ultimately saved and blessed by the blessing of his Lord, that realization, that repentance. فَاجْتَبَاهُ رَبُّهُ فَجَعَلَهُ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. Allah chose him, selected him, and made him from the righteous. And Allah tells us, فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ وَنَجَّيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْغَمِ. Allah says we answered his prayer and we saved him from the dark place that he was in. And we all find ourselves in dark places from time to time. But Allah says we saved him from that dark place. The Quran says, لَنُبِذَ بِالْعَرَاءِ وَهُوَ مَذْمُومٌ. That the whale came up near the shore and it spit him out and he landed onto the beach. And he went back to his townspeople. And when he went back to his town and he walked in, when the narrations mentions, the books of Tafsir mention, he heard the sound of people praying. While he was gone, they all accepted Islam. They all became Muslim. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكَذَٰلِكَ نُنْجِي الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. This is how we will always help and save and rescue the believers, as long as they follow this example of the Prophet Yunus alayhi salam. That when I mess up, when I make a mistake, when I make the wrong choice, I have to own it and I have to take responsibility for it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to practice everything that we've said and heard. Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.